Good morning, friends. This conversation has taken us a long time. We've been struggling to talk to each other. And the theme of it really is about the right to communicate and the challenges of digital democracy. Why have we been struggling so much, Togo? Francina?
Last night, I had connection problems because there was load shedding. When there's load shedding, there's no internet. So it's hard for me to connect through Zoom or WhatsApp.
When there is load shedding, then my network, because usually I use the MTN, then MTN is dead. There's no connection. And the other part is in rural areas, we don't have strong network connection. But in town or in urban, they have strong network connection because that's where the network poles are.
Can we introduce ourselves as we start this conversation? Francina, you talk about a rural area. Please tell us who you are, what you do, where do you live, are you in love, whatever. Tell us something about yourself. Then we'll go to Togo.
Okay. My name is Francina Nkosi, and I'm really passionate about women and youth being part of change to achieve gender equality, because I'm based in the rural area of Lephalate, where the name called Shongwane. And I'm an activist under the organization called Waterberg Women Advocacy Organization. It's a woman-led organization. I have two girls with two grandchildren, and they depend on me, all of them. I'm unemployed, but I'm a facilitator in Benchmark. That's where I get support for buying data and also doing the work. But it's not enough, but it's better than not having anything. And the struggle in the rural area, it's all about not getting equal opportunities like those who are in the urban. And for us as women, we are not recognized as people who can get equal opportunity. And the other part is in rural areas, we don't have any network connection where we
we'll
say...
We'll come to that. We'll come to that, Francina. Just tell me, so you've got two little girls and grandchildren, and your mom, partners, anything, just tell us so we warm up.
Okay. My mom stays in Pretoria in Sourceville, and my partner is no more in Lephalale. He's based at Midrand because he's got a part-time job opportunity, because there's no job opportunities in Lephalale. My last born girl stays with my mother, and then I'm staying only with one sister, the girl, the mother of the two grandchildren, and the father of the grandchildren doesn't want to contribute anything. Now I'm like a mother and a father in my household. Sure. Whatever is needed, it's all upon me.
Thanks, Francina, for introducing us to your life. Togo, please tell us a bit about you.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Hassan. My name is Togo Zilemtambo. I am a civil justice activist and a founder of Ikhaya Labantu Black Lives Movement. Our organization supports the fight against gender-based violence. It advocates for low-income Black women, ecofeminism, and the queer community. I'm also a digital campaigner. For now, I'm facilitating at Benchmark Foundation for the Community Monitoring School. Where I come from, I live in a small township in Soweto that's in Snake Park, Tulani, but I grew up in Meadowlands. So me and my family, we moved in Snake Park in 2004, if I can remember. I was still in high school then. So I moved in and I lived with my mom and my dad and my two brothers in an informal settlement. It was a two-room shack back then when we moved in. You know how it's like living in a disadvantaged background. I had kids when I was still in grade 11. Then I had to drop out from school. After that, my mother passed away. After she passed away, my father lost his job, and I had to push the family because I'm the firstborn. Yeah, life happened, and I was like, you know, I cannot find any job without matric. I had to go to an adult school. Then I applied for an adult school. Then I did my matric. Then I matriculated there. After doing my matric, I met this activist, Mom Tiny. She introduced me to activism. So where I stay, there is tailing mine dump. I didn't know anything about the toxicity of the tailing mine dump and the mining, how it affects us. But we knew that this dust is affecting us and all the stuff, and it has chemicals. But I didn't know deeper about what was happening in my community. So that's when I started activism. Then I grew from activism. Then I joined Amanda.mobi. I became a fellow at Amanda.mobi. I started advocating for women. I did campaigns for schools that are using pit latrines as toilets. And then after my contract was done with Amanda.mobi in 2019, I remember that was when COVID-19 started. Hey. When COVID started, there was a lockdown. Then March there were no jobs.
March 2020, yeah.
2020, hey?
Yeah.
And shit happened. I was at home. I was not doing anything. I was still advocating on Facebook. And that's when, like, my organization started, you know, bringing people together, teaching them about, you know, COVID-19 and all the stuff. There were so many things that were happening, stereotypes and everything that was happening around, you know, marginalized communities, rumors spread, fake news spread, misinformation spread. And then after the COVID-19 thing, I was like, you know what, I have to do something with my life. I have matric, I'm an activist, but I need a career. Okay, now I know how to write reports for Benchmark Foundation. I was a monitor then. Then I decided, let me do journalism. So now I'm a journalist student. I got a bursary at Frey College. They told me to write a motivational letter because I didn't have money to pay. Like, you know, my father is unemployed. So I did a motivation letter. They saw the work that I did with Amanda.mobi. They saw my articles at Benchmark Foundation as a monitor. And then they were like, yeah, give this girl a chance. Hey, then they gave me a bursary. So I'm studying online. So as I'm studying online, the challenge is, yo, load shedding. Data is expensive. Okay, I get a little stipend from the course I'm doing, and I'm also getting a stipend from Benchmark Foundation. But yeah, you wouldn't say the life that we're living in South Africa these days, it's expensive.
Toba, I want us to enter the meat of this program. But before that, in the introduction, before, you told me your partner is a really good guy. As a gender activist, I'm thrilled to hear that. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's not an activist, but he's a maleness. He's a really good guy. Mm. Yeah, he's got a feminine side.
That's beautiful. He must teach me. He must let us get together so that he can make me more sensitive, so Martha can be happy. So friends, the two of you volunteered at a monitors meeting to work on this issues of digital rights and activism. Why is digital important to you guys? How do you understand it, Francina, Togo? Let's just have a chat. How do you understand this area of digital democracy, digital rights? Is it always a friend? Let's go through with it. Why is it useful for you?
For me, digital is very important. Number one, when we look at how we lived way back, digitally it came slowly, slowly. And then we were all aware when we knew that we are in the fourth industrial revolution. And our government knew all of this, but they didn't inform communities that we are moving digitally. And everything now is all about network connection, digital. The TV is digital, the cell phone, the bank, you know, everything. And with communities, we have a right to get that digital, because as the Constitution supports us, that we have the right to life, the right to be supported, the right to information. But it's like we are not getting much from our government.
Francina, yes. What I'm asking you, going on with this, is that if it is a right, is it only you are going to workshops who understand it? What about your neighbors there, other poor people?
Digital is very important. What was happening during the lockdown that we had during the COVID-19, we couldn't visit each other. Life was like, yeah, you can't go and even see your neighbor. You cannot go out. So that is where we saw how digital is important, because we had to log into Zoom to see your family. You can't go to work. You have to be on Zoom to be at work. You know, so you see that digital, it makes life easier and it saves time. You know what I'm saying? So we need digital because it improves everything. It makes life easier.
Francina, I was asking you and I'm asking Togo as well, the both of you. Is it not just something because you guys were meeting with educated blacks, whites, and therefore now you're talking this digital thing? How real is this in the township, in the informal settlement where you stay, Togo? Do other people feel the same thing about getting connected, or is it just something for other people?
No, people, they want to get connected, because these days, even if you want a job, you have to be digital. You have to be online. You have social media. That's where people go and seek for jobs. You know what I'm saying? So if you don't have a cell phone, if you are not connected, your life is stagnant. There is nothing happening in your life. So that's why you see people going to clinics, trying to access Wi-Fi, because they want to know what is happening around the world. Back then, we used to buy newspapers and search and look for jobs. But these days, you know that when I go to Facebook, the search engine is broad. So when you don't have digital in your township, in your rural area, you are nothing. So that is why we are fighting for data. That is why we want data to decrease. That is why we say data must be a need. It must be a need. Because without
Togo, there's nothing happening. To us. Go back to us and tell us a little bit. What is this idea about the clinic? I mean, I'm living in Lanesia, right? Our connectivity has just improved now because they were digging up the roads here. They put in all this kind of things that connect us. And so our reception has improved over the last year. Now, why do you say people have to go to clinics?
The people, they cannot afford data, Hassan. They cannot afford data. Data is expensive. So when you don't have data, you want to go somewhere where you will access data for free, where you access free Wi-Fi. So people, they go at clinics because at least they've got this Mahala Wi-Fi or something like that. You see the Wi-Fi that you find at your mall, then you'll be like, it's a free Wi-Fi. So they have that at local clinics. So people, they go to local clinics to access free Wi-Fi.
Do you do that as well?
Yeah, sometimes I do that because, hey, man, data is expensive. You know, I use my cell phone to hotspot my laptop. When I'm online in class, I'm hotspotting my laptop, then do data. Yeah, penalty. Then to the clinic.
Yeah. Francina, what are your experiences?
But one thing that what I'm experiencing in my rural area is that the way Togo is saying about the clinic, our clinic doesn't have data connection. We don't have a library that have data. The only free data or free Wi-Fi is at the mall. And they're doing that because you have to come and buy so that you can be able to access. It's like selling it to the whatever you buy, and then you sit down and say, let me try and connect. And for us, it's a robbery. It's like selling us that free Wi-Fi. The other
so you're saying it's not really free?
That, no, it's not. Because you have to come and buy. There is KFC there, there is Jet, there is Pep, and there is ShopRite. They know you can't use your money to travel to the mall just to come and get free connection. It means you come, you buy something, and then you can sit down and access the free connection. It's not that you can just connect. only those who are nearer the mall can do that. But yes, the rural area where that mall is, Patladira Mall, it's a vast one for other rural areas. I can't spend 40 rand return just to go and access free Wi-Fi.
So here's the thing then, Francina and Togo. What I'm picking up so far is that what you are saying is that the free Wi-Fi is not really free because it's filled with maybe adverts, you have to take a transport, or those kind of things, right? But you are in Mpumalanga, no?
In Limpopo.
So you're in Limpopo, right? In a rural yes. area. Togo is yes. in the heart of Soweto, an urban area, yes. part of Gauteng. So we see a bit of the urban-rural divide here, how amongst two poor comrades, you've come together in this group, you have different contexts, and the way you access it, if it was no support from your organizations, it would have been tougher. But it does also yes. suggest that then we may have to think of how we fight for these digital hubs to be provided by the public sector. I mean, the government, as you both allude to, seem to be absent in this whole discussion. Could we then, if you guys want, you can stay on that, but I also want to raise the issue about your personal thoughts about connectivity. Are you on pray as you go? Because we know that people who buy prepaid pay more than us one contract. I have one on contract and one prepaid. Now, the people on prepaid basically support those on contract. What are your telephone, your connectivity costs, really?
I'm on prepaid. I'm on prepaid and
I'm on prepaid for Vodacom. I've changed from MTN because I used to use MTN during the lockdown and it was not good connection because if it's load shedding, then it means I don't use my phone to call. And then on a Vodacom, I spend 600 rand for data, but it's not a confirmed one. Recently, in 3 days' time, I bought the 10 gig from Vodacom.
How much did it cost you?
It costed me 250. Mm. And it vanished. As I speak to you, it vanished and I tried to call them and they tell me I need to record my voice recognition. It's like they're dodging me to answer the phone so that I can ask where is my data because there's no way I can consume 10 GB with WhatsApp.
Okay. Togo, you please talk. We've got about 10 minutes left.
Yeah, I know the struggle now. It just disappears. I buy data for 250 on Telkom, 20 gig, but it doesn't even last me for a month. It doesn't even last me for a month. So after I have to spend another money to buy another 20 gig for
so which is your network, Togo?
It's Telkom.
Okay.
It's Telkom. And then they'll tell you that you have night bundles. Those night bundles, they're useless because you can also, you only use them after 12. Then in the morning when it's 8 a.m., they're no longer active. Then you have to use your daily bundles. So that's where the trick is. Your daily bundles, they consume a lot of data.
Yeah. So comrades, I mean, I think we've complained about this and you see we've got People's Media Consortium, Free Internet, we're trying to organize. What do you guys think we should be doing? Let's look at the way forward. Is this issue felt strongly by other poor people in your area, in your shack area? Mm-hmm. Are other people complaining about data? And Francina, the same?
Yeah, everyone is complaining about data. We've got school kids who need data, who need to do research. We've got people who are working online who need to be online every day. We've got me, students who study online. We need data and it's hard. The struggle is real. It is expensive. So what I think that the government must do, must make sure that the data costs they decrease. Especially in marginalized communities, they must try to build more digital hubs for us because most of the places here, we don't have a place where we can go to access internet. So Francina? They must build digital hubs.
Francina?
Okay, for me is I remember the government said each household should get support for data.
10 gigas.
If that yeah. can, yes.
But it's
if
long, isn't that, it? A month, a household, a month.
Per household, per month. But we don't want 10 giga. If they can provide the 20 per household, yeah. because it depends
on can't we think per individual?
How many kids.
Can't we think of per individual?
For individual, yes. But let's look at those who are doing their work like Togo via the internet. And myself also, because the work that I do, you need to always be researching so that you understand what is happening with other people. For me, my way forward is making sure that we do a door-to-door, and I've already started with that, a door-to-door, and ask people, how do you feel with this data? How are you affected? Because we need to get the more real a contribution from people who are affected. And then if it needs that we do a signature campaign, yes, we have to do a signature campaign to show the government that as communities, we demand digital hubs and also a support of data so that those who are studying and those who are doing their
you
work.
You guys are organizing for justice, Togo and Francina. You guys work for Benchmarks and you yeah. need your work as well, isn't it? We take that for granted.
Yes.
Yeah.
For us, is the way a Benchmark is supporting us is they making us to see that getting people to support on whatever issue you are investigating, it gives more weight than just talking from your own experience. Put in more meat, get interviews from other people, how they are affected, and then it that way your story can be having more information or more power to others who will be reading that story.
So, friends and comrades, I know you guys do reports and all that, and you do podcasts. I heard you in the last one. This is also a podcast. We hope to put it out, but we are a digital working group, so we need to see how we're going to make this as a mass issue in our forthcoming meetings, which will not necessarily be recorded. But we need to learn the lessons. Or the conclusion here really is that digital hub, collective spaces where we can get together, where we can share experiences, will be a really, really good space to reorganize yes. our movement. Because then we don't only have to talk digital. We talk about each other. How are we? How's the child? Everything.
Yeah.
Digital is just the means, isn't it?
Yes.
We also in future have to talk more about how digital has within it surveillance, spying, censorship, all those issues. Do you want to say any word on that? Are you aware of some of these challenges? Because it's not all hunky-dory and exciting. This is also tools of repression and control, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's true. Because the government, they give on the other hand and they take on the other hand. It's like slapping you in the face to say, but you don't deserve that. Because with the signing of their contract, it will be whatever network is going to benefit, and then other people from the parliament, they are going to benefit more because they are the ones who are getting the luxurious support. But those who are on the ground, they don't get anything.
Yeah, and also... The politics have told us, guys, the government can no longer shape us. We need to come as a collective, as civil societies, as organizations. We need to advocate for the voice and voice of people. And we are saying there is no life without internet. There is no life without free data. Data is a need. It is a need. There is no life without internet. We are living in a digital world. We must know what we want. So as much as government cannot shape us anymore, we as civil justice organizations, we have to come and amplify the voices of marginalized people and low-income Black women and say that data must fall.
We spend a lot of time talking about government. Government is the regulator setting out rules. It's the companies that profit. And sometimes I think they write the law that our government gets in. So we need to we need to sharpen our discussion. You heard recently that Rain wants to buy Telkom. Already there's only two, three corporations that are entering this Telkom spaces. So in the future, we must concentrate on these guys who are manipulating and writing the policies that make sure that our government abdicates its role for the, for us to communicate freely without any surveillance and as human beings as we deserve. Comrades, thank you very much. Togo, anything? Francina?
1 30 seconds. On my side, I would say as communities, we have powers to influence the decision that they're taking upon us. It's us who needs to show them that please get the consent first from me before.
Good, before you use our data. Togo?
Thank you.
Yeah, for me, what I want to say is that there is no life without the internet. There is no life without the internet. We have to intervene. That's what I want to say.
I hope your partner listens to this, eh? Because you talk about internet closer than your partner, eh?
Yeah.